Bibles and go with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now, wherever I travel, and, you know, of course we deal with pastors and leaders and ministers, and the number one question, obviously, they ask about the anointing, but they also ask about provision. How does this thing of provision work for the ministry? People of God, businessmen come to me, individuals in the church over the years. Pastor, how does this thing of provision work? And God, the way that he operates, he always puts it in his word, all of these promises, and with the promises, there's conditions, and if you meet the conditions, then you get the promises. And the Bible says in the book of Genesis, as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, summer and winter. There's no such thing as global warming. As long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night. Amen? Al Gore, shut up. You know, let me just say this to you about this global warming thing. It's all a UN agenda. Everything that's being pushed right now in the Senate and the House is pushed by the United Nations to destroy America. So how does this thing work, a provision? What if the banks failed? That happened in Argentina probably 8 years ago. All my friends, Claudio Frison, Carlos Anacondia, Pedro Ibarra, many of the great ministries there, we talked to them. They said, we went to sleep on a Sunday night. We woke up Monday morning, no money. Go to the ATMs, no money, no money, money gone. They emptied people's accounts. You saw what happened in Cyprus, where they gave accounts a haircut. They want to do that right here. They want to do that right here. So if you think your money is safe in a bank, have another glass of Kool-Aid. When you put your money in the bank, understand that you might as well be just giving it to Bonnie and Clyde. It's a fact. So if your source is in the natural, what are you going to do when it is not there any longer? What are you going to do? People will go to pieces. There will be people in the church acting like a heathen, rioting in the streets, pillaging. They will revert back to being unsaved in a moment because they don't know how to trust God. The church in America is not ready for what's coming. They're not ready. The pastors have not got them ready. They don't know how to pray. They don't know how to believe God. They don't know how to trust God. They trust in everything of the flesh. But if you read here, this is before, I mean, take yourself back to Bible days and look at what the economy was. Look at what the situations were. But over the centuries and down through the years, there have been men and women that have believed God and saw the miraculous. And when you know that you trust Him, that you know He's going to give you water from the rock. Manna from heaven that He's going to supply for you. There are going to be creative miracles. And Jesus is the one that when he comes along, he turns the water into wine. He multiplies the loaves and the fish. And when you need tax money, he gets it from the fish's mouth. Why? Because Jesus said to Peter, go and get the tax money from the fish's mouth so we don't have to deal with the banksters. We don't have to deal with the money changers, which he beat and made whips. Somebody said, well, Jesus would be nice. No, let me tell you what he did. He made whips and beat the bankers. They were the money changers. He beat them. He beat them. That's why we've got to get the church out of debt. We've got to get the body of Christ to stop borrowing money. Believe God and pay cash. Do everything cash. Do not be subject to the world system, because it's when you are subject to the world system that they will control you. Because if you don't obey, you'll lose everything you have. And of course, it's a little step further than that, because you actually don't even own your land anymore, because you're paying tax on your land, so you don't own it. Your land's not tax-free. You don't own your rainwater. If you have things to collect rainwater in certain states, you get fined for collecting rainwater that belongs to the state. Since when? It's a fact. Go study what's going on. Oregon's one. Florida's another one. In a little while, we might have to pay to breathe. That'll be 2 cents. Because everything's about tax. Tax this, tax that, tax this, tax this, tax that, tax that, tax that, tax that. Okay, I don't care what they tax, because the Lord knows where the fish is with the coin in its mouth. So that means I'm going to pay whatever taxes it is, and I'm going to have a surplus. Because I know how to believe God, and I know how to pray and to trust God, no matter what the price of gasoline is. What do you pay for a gallon in Africa? What do you pay for a gallon of gas? All right, so that's $4.50 a liter or a gallon? $6 a gallon. Okay, but they pay in their currency 13 of their dollars for 1 liter. 13 of their dollars for 1 liter. So work it out. $52 for a gallon. Okay? They have to believe God. They have to believe God. How would you like to pay $52 a gallon? I'm not making this stuff up. Big murmurings going on that side. Only God knows what's happening there. But you learn to believe God. Isn't that right? And food. I remember when we were back there 25 years ago, just to fill up a cart of food, not luxuries, no candy, no nuts, no cheese, nothing. Just the basics was $800 to fill up one cart. That was 25 years ago. What's it now? If you went to Pick and Pay, hypermarket, bring your car, you can park it, huh? About $2,000 for a trolley of groceries. Three bags are 800 rand. Okay, so you got to believe God. You got to believe God. Here in America, people have it easy, but they don't even know what they got, and they even complain about what they have. Because they think getting more will solve the problem. No, getting more means they'll spend more, get themselves more in debt, and be more dependent upon the system. People walked up to me, "Praise God, Brother Rodney. The Lord bless me. I had a credit card come in the mail, and they give me a $7,500 line of credit, and I just went on a vacation to the Bahamas." I can remember when we first landed here, 25 years ago, $300, my wife and I, and I rented this little Mustang. Kids were in the back, and I pulled into the gas station, filled up. It was like $13.17, and I bought something to drink for the kids. And I went to the lady and said, "There's something wrong. The thing is wrong." I filled up the tank, and I got all these drinks for the kids. She said, "No, that's right." What? I got in the car, drove out, told my wife I just robbed a gas station. I mean, because in Africa it would be in hundreds. We went to the supermarket and we loaded up three carts of things. At this 25 years ago, it was like $180. And I stood there and I went, "Are you serious?" I said, "Lady, can you count the stuff again? That till is wrong. It's not adding it up properly." Because in my mind, it was just, I remember, you know, Kirsty was 5 years old, so we go buy a little Barbie doll for her. In Africa, it's like $120 for a Barbie doll. We bought it for like $6 or something, and you just think, what is this? They're giving away the stuff here. This stuff's given away in America. That you can even buy a suit today for $200 or $250 or whatever. Suits there, thousands. 3, 4, 5,000 for a suit. So you have to have faith, and that faith has to work for you in Africa. In America, you don't need to have faith. You've got government aid, government help, you've got Red Cross, you've got Blue Shield, you've got government assistance, you've got, come on, huh? Obamacare, you've got, I mean, you know you're doing well when Obama cares. I mean, come on, you've got everything. In Africa, you don't have a Red Cross. You don't have Red Cross. So you have to hang to the old rugged cross. You've got to stick to that one. In Africa, if you call 911, the police says, can you come pick me up? I run out of gas. I'll be there in 45 minutes. I'm coming by bicycle. I'm not kidding you. So when you find yourself in those situations, you don't look to somebody else for a helping hand. You learn to press into God. You learn to pray. You learn to believe God, not trust the system. You've got to get your faith out of the system and get your faith in the Word of God. Well, this is the excitement here. Caleb, I actually haven't seen this much excitement since I had that four-week revival in Dover, Delaware, and we stayed in the Relax Inn and got eaten up by sand fleas. I mean, if you people get any more excited about what I'm telling you right now, I don't know what I'm going to do. I couldn't handle the pressure. It's beyond me. All right, 2 Kings. Have you found it yet? Chapter 4, verse 1. Now the wife of the son of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but a creditor has come to take away my two sons to be slaves." Now, you think that that's far removed from what could happen today. I got news for you. Because when you're up to your eyeballs in debt, they're going to want something. So she finds herself in a predicament. Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you?" And then he says, "Tell me what you have of sale value in the house." And she said, "Your handmaid has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Now, I always love this when people come and God is involved and they look at what they have and it's like, "I got nothing. I got nothing except a jar of oil." God always has a way of taking what we consider to be nothing and then bringing about the supply through the nothing that we think we have. We think we got nothing, but we don't know that what we have is the igniter, is the beginning of the divine flow. Somebody said, "But why does God need what I've got? Why doesn't he just do it?" Because he wants to get your faith involved so that you understand once you access it, you know how you can live, and you live the same way. You live the same way, not just when you're a baby Christian. You live the same way when you've been serving God for 40 years. Many people that used to believe God for radical things in the area of what I'm talking about have become complacent. Because when you believe in God for radical things, you're walking on the water. People, you know, "I've been walking on the water for years." I had one preacher come to me and said, "Brother Rodney, pray for me that I never have to believe God again. I'm tired." I said, "Lord, kill him." He said, no. I said, "Bro, that's what the life is. It's a life of faith. You have to believe God. You have to trust him." "What do you mean pray that you don't have to believe God? What do you mean? You lazy thing, you. What does that mean?" There's nothing greater than when you put your faith out and begin to believe God and you pray and you see the hand of God come through for you. It comes back to what I was talking about last night. Some people have heard of him by the hearing of the ear, but when the eye seeth him, everything changes. So they believe God. Remember, he moves mountains. Just remember that. So the prophet, he says, go around, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not a few. So he said, get as many as you can. Now, had they known what we know, they should have kept a boy running flat out. They should have opened up a place to make jars, and they should have just kept putting these jars out. Because as long as, the Bible says here, he says, when you come in, shut the door upon you and your sons, then pour the oil you have into all those vessels, setting each aside when it is full. And so she went from him and shut the door upon herself and her sons, who brought her the vessels, and she poured in the oil. And the vessels were all full. And she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not one left. Then the oil stopped multiplying. Now watch this. The oil, it was just a little bit. There was the supply came in the multiplication of the pouring. It stopped pouring when there were no more vessels. Now I'm going to give you your key to your provision from now on until Jesus comes. As long as you keep pouring out of your time, of your finances, of yourself, and you keep pouring into empty vessels, there will always be more than enough for you. You will never lack, I promise you right now. The moment you stop pouring because you feel you won't have enough left over, that's when the miracle of multiplication stops. The enemy comes to intimidate you, to try to stop you, to halt you in your tracks, to tell you that there's not going to be enough. And then because of fear, you draw back and you stop pouring. But don't stop pouring. I'll tell you what, as you keep pouring, it'll keep multiplying and there will be increase. Hallelujah. As long as you can find the vessels to pour into, it will happen right before your eyes. The moment there was no more vessel, there was no more oil. I've seen preachers tell me, you know, I'm tired, I need to take a sabbatical. I said, let me tell you, you can take a vacation, but what they take like a year sabbatical. I said, I'm telling you right now, it's going to be to your detriment. If you need a vacation, take one, but don't disengage your faith. And don't go hide somewhere. Keep pouring out what you have. That's why we go after souls. You know why? Because they're empty. Many times the people in the church are full and there's no place to pour. And so the oil stops. The anointing stops because they all come to church full. They came full. Some of them are full of bull, but they came full and they leave full. So we go, we keep going out, go bring me. I tell our church, go bring me the vessels. Bring them in here, bring me the empty vessels. Why? Because we're going to keep pouring and the oil is going to keep multiplying. Are you with me? Can you grab a hold of this? It'll work in your ministry. It'll work in the anointing on your life. It'll work with your finances. It's the same thing. Just keep finding places to pour into. The moment you stop, it stops. You just keep going and watch what God does in your life. Hallelujah. If you knew, I tell our church this. I said, if you knew how we operate and how we function with the finances that we have, you'd fall in the ground and you'd have to be carried out laughing uncontrollably. If you knew, and you've heard me say this before, never before has so much been done with so little. There are weeks where we don't even know how. I don't even try to even think about it. I've just been there too many times, I can't even count. We stopped our mailing list probably 4 years ago. We used to do monthly mail-outs. I have 300,000 people on a mailing list. We used to mail about 100,000 people a month. And I walked in one day, I said, that's it, stop it. We've got an email list now that we can email. We let people know every week what we're doing, but that's it. I just said, if I got to build the ministry off of a mailing list, what's going to happen if the mail shuts down? Your whole ministry will come to an end. It's finished. It's gone. I want to pray it in. I want to pray like the old timers used to do. I want to pray like George Mueller. Come on. We've got to have that raw, rugged faith. The whole church today is propped up on the arm of the flesh. The whole church functions. Whole ministries function on the arm of the flesh. But I promise you right now, it can all collapse. Our ministry will keep going. We'll never stop. We won't even miss a lick, whether we're on television or we've been on TV over 3 years, never taken one offering on television. Not one offering on television. Why? Because it's about souls. We're winning souls. We're winning souls. We don't even advertise our product on television. We can't because everybody's doing it. That's all they do on television. So you click it on and there they're going. If it's not a green prayer handkerchief, it's a water from the Jordan, oil from the Holy Land, a life-size poster the preacher to put in the refrigerator, special sand from the Jordan. They've got companies that dream up this stuff. They do. I'm telling you, it's a fact. And they drive the ministries. You need to pray for every man and woman of God because they're being driven by a system that is going to come down. I'm telling you right now. You want to walk by faith. You want to trust God. God will part the water. God will make a way where there is no way. God will furnish a table in the wilderness. And even if there was no television and there was no radio and going back to 200 years ago, we could still have a great awakening. Think about what I'm telling you. The principles in what I've just shared with you. And there's some weeks, I'm telling you, because, I mean, on a basic week, we need $120,000 a week just to run the operation. That's just to click over. We have 70 full-time staff. And they're telling me what we need. And I laugh because I know what we need can't come in on a Sunday morning. But every week, miracles. Every week, miracles. Every week. People told us you're going to go under. When we went on live television every night for 1 year, 3 hours a night, and they said, you're not taking an offering. How are you going to function? You can't take an offering at 20 to 11 when everybody's left. Because, you know, with the three-hour live program, the moment's finished, they walk out. So you can't, oh, come back here. We need you to give an offering. They're gone. If you do an offering, $500, they ain't going to pay the bills. People said, you're going to go bankrupt. I had people calling me, telling me, I had a dream about you, and you were crying, and you had to move your church, and you had a downscale. I started laughing. I said, that's a lie of the devil. I never move. We won't ever move our church, and I'm not downscaling. We're moving forward. God is our source of supply. Last year, I can't remember, I think it was in the month of May or June sometime, our financial director called me and said, Pastor, I could hear his voice was very shaky. Now, when your financial director calls you and his voice is shaky, then you think, okay, now there's big trouble. Big trouble. He said, a check has arrived, yeah, and he said, I don't know if it's real. I said, well, where is it from? He's told me. I said, no, it's real. It's a company that dispenses funds. He said, yeah, but it's the amount. I said, well, how much is it? He says, $1 million. I said, no, it's real. It is real. And it was real. And it came anonymously, and it said, used for the kingdom and for souls. It came anonymously. And it came right at a time, right at a time where we desperately need. We come out of the blue. We don't even know where it came from. We don't even know who gave. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God knew that we needed, and then boom, there it comes. Boom, there it arrives. Boom, there it is. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Anonymous. Out of the blue. Never expected it. Suddenly, there it is. No newsletter. No mailing list. To somebody who we're probably only going to meet when we get to heaven. Just loved what we were doing for souls and just sent it someplace in Ohio. No. I racked my brains. I thought, who was it? Who did it? And then I had to just say, Lord, it's you. It's you. It's you. And last year, we had the greatest year in the history of the ministry in the financial realm, which, let me tell you, because people call me, said, oh, all the income's dropping. I said, well, I don't know what you're talking about. All I know is I still have to believe God like I did 20 years ago. I still have to believe God that, like when we landed in America with $300 with Adonica and three children, I have to believe God. In those days, I had a little 1-in-3 tape duplicator, and I had to run the tapes off and type the labels myself and wrap them in a band for $10 and pray to God that I sell three so I could get a room at the Red Roof Inn. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because in those days, they gave you a love offering. Plenty of love and no offering. But we saw God's hand then, and we see the hand of God now. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you see, let me just say this, and I'm going to wrap it up with this. Not that anything I do here needs wrapping, but I'm going to say this to you right now. That your faith, actual fact, has to be greater when you have the resources in your hands than when you don't. Because when you don't, you have to pray and believe God for your daily bread. When you have surplus, now what are you going to do? Now you have a tendency not to pray. Well, we can just go do it. We can do it. People got ideas. We can do this. We can do that. And before you know, Ishmael has been built. So if you think it's hard when you don't have, it'll be 100 times harder than when you do have. When you have surplus, when you have overage, to then believe God and then be led by the Spirit of God on how to wisely use the resources that God has placed in your life. Let me say this. I need to share this because the miracle of our building, we bought a building 2 years after we went to Madison Square Garden. We rented the garden for 6 weeks. Some of you came to help us there. That cost us $6.7 million. We saw 48,459 people saved. Everything we're doing today was birthed in 99 at Madison Square Garden. That's a big poster called The Great Awakening Starts Here. That's what we did. I preached a message on the 30th of July called There's a Storm Coming, The Rise of Terrorism, Nations Plan the Downfall of America as We Speak, and America's a Sitting Duck, and then asked the city what would happen if a missile struck New York City 2 years before 9/11. So we finished that meeting. God supernaturally brought the funds in for that. The next year, we went to Shreveport, Louisiana. How many came to Shreveport and helped us in the Good News Shreveport? Okay, thank you. And that was 59,000 decisions there. That one cost us about $1.6 million. And I really thought people would easily support that one, that people really wanted to give to New York. But Shreveport, who wants to give to Shreveport? It's like the armpit of America, you know what I mean? I mean, seriously. And so we were short on that one, and I had to mortgage our house and stuck $300,000. We were almost paid off. Stuck $300,000 into the crusade. And one of the pastors rebuked me, and he said, you missed God on this one. You missed God on this one. I said, why? He said, you borrowed the money to finish the crusade. I said, excuse me, you built a new church there? Yes. Did you borrow the money? He said, yes. I said, you missed God. How come it's right for him to borrow money to build a building, but it's wrong for me to borrow money from myself to win souls. I don't understand that. And the Lord said to me, what would you do if you were in China? I said, I would give my life. He said, then don't get soft because you're living in America. Don't get soft. How is it that American missionaries will risk life and limb on foreign fields, in remote areas, and come to America and just relax and a Starbucks and a movie? No, I'm serious. If you found them on the foreign field, you can't find any better than an American missionary on a foreign field who's standing there fighting for souls and come home. And there's nothing. And so then the next year, we're driving down the highway in Tampa, leaving Brandon, coming up the 75. And there we see this place. It was a car dealership. We'd watch the cars shrink. There was no cars, and we saw, my wife said, that's our place. And I'm thinking, oh, no, Donica, please. No, I want to hear this. We go to Madison Square Garden in 99. We go to Shreveport in 2000. And we buy a building in 2001. This is ridiculous. People can think I've lost it. But she was the one that said, that's our building. She said, that's our building. Now, I learned in the early days of our marriage, because we were married. When I got married, I was 20, she was 19. She wouldn't say boo to anything. I mean, we would sing together. She'd go sit down and say, honey, come greet the people. She'd look at me. She'd go, no. And that's it. So I had to do everything. Everything. Now you give her a mic 3 hours later. I mean, she goes for it. She goes for it. Thank God. But I also learned that when I would say, we're going to do this, she'd freak out. She'd, what? Yeah. So I learned after a couple of years, because then you get in an argument because you feel like you're fighting over the vision. So then I would say, you know, this is what I'm feeling. I learned how to talk to her. You're going to learn how to talk to your wife. And I would just share. And then when she said it back to me, then I knew that it's time to get it. When it was coming out of her mouth, it was good. If it was just out of my mouth, forget about it. Because you've got to get on the same page. So I called the car dealership. I said, listen, is that place for sale? They said, well, it went bankrupt. We built the place about 4 years ago for $16 million. I said, well, is it for sale? Well, they said a university wants it. I said, it's rubbish. They can't have it. That's ours. I didn't say my wife said that's ours. But I said, that's ours. I said, if you sold it, what would you want for it? They said, well, if we got $8 million for it, we'd be very happy. And out of my spirit, I said, I'll give you $10 million for it. I didn't have a dime. I didn't have a dollar. I said, I'll give you $10 million. They said, why do you want to give us $10 million for the place when we only want $8 million? I said, because you think I don't have the money. And I have the money. And I said, but I'm not going to give it to you in the way that you think. I put $6 million down, and then $2 million finance over 5 years, and then the other $2 million will write off. You know, it's a fair deal. So they said, fine. And only the Lord knows how a very conservative group, I mean, I'm talking about the plain tired people, the suits. They do not finance Pentecostal churches. They don't like Pentecostal, but they financed us for 5 years. Now, we didn't know about the five-year balloon, and that's another whole story, and the finance charge and all that kind of stuff, but we never even believed we could get a building. And so the documents arrived. I signed, no money down. I signed, I walked and took over 83 acres of property. And pastors in the city came to me, what did you pay for this thing? The rumor was going around that we had $100 million in the bank. That Howard Brown, he's got money coming out of his ears. He went to Madison Square Garden, now he buys 83 acres. They were told, well, they didn't know we had nothing. We had absolutely nothing. There was no money. Basically what it is, one day we didn't have the property, the next day we had the property. And so it was a five-year balloon note. Now, watch this. In the end of the fourth year, my administrator, who you'll get to meet, Randy Hooper, he said to me, Pastor, do you realize that in September this year, you owe $8.1 million? No, let me rephrase it. It was 8.6 because they put on about 500,000 on financing. Okay, so it's 8.1 plus the 500,000, 8.6. So I said, well, talk to them. Let's see what we're going to do. So we determined to go fly out to California and go meet with these people. So we went out, we flew, we sat down, we said, listen, the loan's up. We want to know what you're going to do, what you want to do, how are we going to fix this thing or whatever. And they said they'll get back to us. And then from then, they wouldn't answer the emails, wouldn't return phone calls, nothing. And so September the 8th came. And he said, what are we going to do today? He said, you are $8.1 million. I said, let's go play golf. So we went to go play golf. And I prayed. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, $2 million of the note belonged to the auto dealership, and the other $6 million was them. So the Lord said, call the auto dealership and get a one-year extension on the $2 million. Because if you get a one-year extension on $2 million, then they can't close. They can't foreclose on you because they're going to have to then hit the auto dealership. So I called them. The auto dealership were not happy, but they said, we'll give you a 12-month extension. And then I called them and said, listen, I got some bad news for you, gentlemen. You're going to have to wait another year. And at first, they didn't want to take our check, but I knew that we just keep sending the check, they started taking it, and that's automatic, you know, that the loan is still in force because they're taking your monthly check. And so we extended for a year. And then another group came along, and these guys scrutinized me. The only thing that I didn't do was give them a blood and urine sample. I mean, they went into everything of me personally, not the church, me. Me. I mean, they raked up everything. They did a full background. They searched. They found every little thing. I mean, and then they give me this loan. But they add on another 5. So it goes from 8.1 to 8.6 to 9.1. Now we've 6 years into the building at 9.1. And the guy, I mean, he hit me. I mean, he was. I said, listen, who do you think you are? I said, I'm your client. I don't work for you. You work for me. You're making money off of me. You better change your talk. I said, let me tell you right now, you think that I'm shaky ground because I'm in the ministry. I've got news for you. I'll be here long after you people are gone. I said, my source is God. You better not mess with me. I told him straight, don't mess with me. You're messing with the wrong person. And I've been nice up to now, but I'm about to get mad with you. They did the loan within 1 year. They were bankrupt. He called me on the phone. He said, I don't know how to tell you this, but our company went bankrupt. I said, oh, wow. You scrutinized me, but you were shaky yourself. And I'm still here. Don't mess with me. So that loan got bought in a package by another group in the Carolinas. I didn't know who these people were. I only later on found that they were a $10 billion corporation. I didn't know who they were. But the guy calls me up. He said, listen, we assumed your loan. I said, yes, I assumed that you assumed it. He said, just so you know that we don't like churches. We are in commercial real estate. I said, well, I don't like loan sharks and any of that stuff myself. You know, I said, this has been a terrible journey for us with crooked loans, as you know what happened in that time. And he said, listen, what I'm going to do, he said, if you go find another loan for your building, I'll reduce your mortgage by $1 million. So then I thought about it. I mean, okay, so 9.1, 8.1, now we're back to where we started at. But how am I going to get a loan at this time? So I prayed, and then I felt the Lord give me a plan of action. I called the guy back. Now remember, I don't know this is a $10 billion corporation. I just think this is some company that has assumed our loan, which I assumed right that they did assume it. I called him up. I said, let me tell you what we're going to do. I said, I want you to give me a $1.6 million reduction on the loan. In other words, you're going to drop it from 9.1 to 7.5. We are? I said, yes. I'm not paying any finance fees, nothing. You're going to write it into the new clause, everything. I want it signed by your board. And I said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you $1 million a year, every year for 3 years. And then obviously you work it out, then the balance is $4.5 million. Because I've already paid all these unscrupulous fees and that. He said, well, why would we do that? I said, first of all, you'll do it because you don't want me anymore. And if you can do $1 million, you can do 1.6. And 1.6 is doable for me. He said, but what if we don't? I said, that's very easy. If you don't, I will make no more payment to you, sir. I will withhold my payment, and I'll keep saving it in an account, and we can go to court, and I'll fight for you for 2 years. By that time, I'll have the down payment to go get another loan. He said, you wouldn't do that. I said, oh, yeah. Besides that, I've got the property. I'm an African. We know how to possess a property. He said, you wouldn't do it. I said, yes, I'm going to do it because I'm sick and tired of you people pushing me around. There's no way I can get another loan right now, and you know that. So don't come to me with tokens of $1 million reduction. I don't have a down payment to get another loan. So you go back to your board, and you tell them what I'm going to do. I said, and the mortgage payment's due in 2 days, and I promise you it will not be there. And we got the call back. He said, we're all agreed. We're going to give you a $1.6 million reduction, but you've got to make the payment of $1 million. This is over and above the monthly payment of $1 million a year for 3 years. And we started what we called Jubilee. And every Sunday, we handed out a second offering. This, we told the people, this is not your tithe, this is not your offering, this is to reduce the mortgage on the building. And in the first 11 months, we hit the first million, paid that. But you won't believe what he did. He took our package and sold it to a group in Texas. These investors that have hundreds of millions of dollars and they love church, they love what we're doing. And the next thing I knew, our loan was out of that wicked hand into the hand of a secure man. And the man came to visit us and he said, I want you to know your loan is safe with us. We are behind you. We're behind the church. We believe in what you're doing. I mean, God delivered us out of it. And now our loan now is down. I think the last number, look, was about 5.6 million. We're down. To 5.6 million. It's supernatural. How do you go from 9.1 down to 5.6 in a matter of just over 2 years? Only God. Only God. So you know what? We're going to pay that property off. And I told the church, we will never borrow not one dime ever again. That is it. No, we will believe God and pay cash for it. And that's the only way we're going to go. We will never be a slave to any financial institution, period. Hallelujah. How many believe that's a miracle? How many believe it's a miracle to pay off that much over and above your monthly payment? And of course, every time you put cash into that, it's dropping. And your interest is dropping. So it's like the Lord's redeeming those first years of wasted years. God's redeeming them. Listen, I just know this, that God has a way through everything for His people. That there's no predicament that you can find yourself in right now. And you look at me and say, this is impossible. And there's no way out for me. I got news for you. There's a way out. And sometimes it might mean you get bold. Just because you're a Christian. See, people say, well, you're a pastor. Oh, yeah, I'm a pastor too. And I pack. Don't mess with me. No, because people think if you're a child of God, you're just an idiot. You're just whatever you want. No. This is not my money. This is God's money. This is God's church. This is God's people. You're not going to mess with God's people. And you have to get bold as a lion. The wicked flee where no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Hallelujah. This is not the hour for weak-kneed, marshmallow, Pee Wee Herman believers. This is the hour for men of God to rise up. Amen. And when it comes to the wicked, I'll go for them and get them saved. If they won't get saved, I treat them ruthlessly. If they come after the people of God and the house of God and the people, they get and get in the middle of me. I promise you right now. It's not a game. It's not a game. It's a matter of life and death. I don't even know why I told you all that today, but maybe that is what somebody needed to hear today. God will deliver you out of your predicament, out of your circumstance, out of your situation. But just remember this. Don't ever stop pouring. Keep doing it. Keep pouring it every day. Keep doing it every day. Every day. Every day. Hallelujah. 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 I think I just preached myself happy here. I'm glad I came tonight. I'm happy I came tonight. I preached myself happy. I'm talking about supernatural deliverance. Out of debt. Now let me tell you, as the church started giving into Jubilee, the testimonies are mind-blowing. Because I told the people, this is not your tithe, this is not your offering, it's money you believe God for the building. They've had houses paid off. We even had a family that was homeless that got saved. They were homeless and they got saved. I'm talking about real rednecks. And a distant relative left them over $1 million. You should have heard the testimony. You thought it was a Beverly Hillbillies that Sunday. I'm telling you right now. And they tithed and they gave and God blessed them. And the miracles have been happening. Houses paid off. Transportation supplied. Supernatural thing. Every Sunday we have testimonies of the miracles that are happening and are continuing even to this day, all because of Jubilee. It's awesome. It's awesome. Who has buildings and church buildings and properties that need to be paid off? Just raise your hand. Just stand. Just stand right now. I got faith for this right now. Father, if you can give us miracles, you can give them miracles. We call these buildings paid. We call these church houses paid. We call these properties paid. That there'll be supernatural deliverance that will come out of these mortgages and these loans. And mountains will be moved. And Lord, I thank you for it. And do a quick work. Do a quick work. And I hear the Lord saying this in my spirit. If you will go after souls and you will make souls your number one vision, your number one purpose of why you exist, that supernaturally the finances will come from the north and south and from the east and from the west. And will come in, and there will be provision in the house, and you will see the hand of God. Because as you keep pouring into the empty vessels, it will never run out for you, and you will see the hand of God. Get ready, 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 get ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost right now. I feel the fire of God. I feel the fire of the Holy Ghost. I feel the fire of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. All right, you be seated. How many people have a house that's not paid off and you were caught in some of these loans and that? Quickly stand. Stand. People that have housing loans and stuff like that, you need to be delivered. Come on. Don't think you're tied in for the next 20, 30 years. God will give you a miracle. God will come and he will deliver you. With a strong and a mighty hand, he will deliver you. Put your hands up high right now and receive. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that these houses will be paid off, that you will supernaturally deliver them out of the debt, out of the snare of the fowler. Get them out of debt, Lord. Get them out of the wicked banking system. In the name of Jesus, they'll be a slave to none. They'll be a servant to all. We thank you for it. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You shall not lack, for the Lord is your shepherd. And as you take care of his house, he will take care of your house. And as you keep pouring into the lost souls of men, the oil will keep flowing and there'll be enough for them and enough for you. Hallelujah. 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 God's about to do a new thing. God's about to do something. Some unusual things in many different realms that have been held captive by the enemy in this hour. It shall come into the hands of the righteous. It shall come into the hands of the just. Even in the realm of television, even in the realm of radio, even in the airwaves shall be unlocked, and you shall see the supernatural hand of God. It shall no longer be driven by the love of money, but shall be driven by the love of souls and the harvest of souls, and you shall see it coming to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there shall be no lack in the house. In the house of God, in the people of God, in those that are committed for the harvest, they will never lack. They will never lack. The provision shall come on them from every side. It will overtake them, and they'll see the hand of provision in their life, and they shall rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Woo! Glory to God! Hallelujah! 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 In the world, it'll get worse. In the world, it'll get darker. But in the church, it'll get brighter. And the lights will shine brighter. And the glory will be made manifest. And the glory of God will be made manifest. And the glory of God will be revealed. Hallelujah. For he brought his people forth with silver and gold, and there was not one sick or feeble one among their tribes. And he did that under an old covenant that was signed by the blood of bulls and goats. But under the new covenant that is signed and sealed by the blood of Jesus, he shall do even greater, for the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former house, saith the Lord. Yet one more time I'll shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Yet one more time I'll shake it, and the glory of the latter house, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former house. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, Mariboso, Maribaso, Marimandori, Biasori, Hella Mandradere, Ridelio, Ardesoria, Miriero, Ariade Soriabo, Ella Mamoribo, Ilele Soriabo, Ella Mamorio. La 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 ba, soriabo, periano, shomoria, glory, glory, glory. The church will become a place of provision where people will come in to get their financial needs met. Not only to get saved, healed, set free, and delivered, but get their financial needs met. So great shall be the blessing of God in the house. I prophesied that probably 4 or 5 years ago. The Lord said, do you believe it? I said, yes. He said, start doing it. So every Sunday we give away checks to members in need. In need, we're giving away a house and we're giving away cars and on Sunday mornings for the members. Listen, it's only the beginning. See, I know some things that I can't tell you right now. I know some things. When God's about to put, let me say what the Lord's already put in our hand, it just has to be released. And what God's already put in our hands is not for us, but for the church. The Lord said to me, when I release it, he said, you cannot own it. You can only steward it. But it will get the church, the body of Christ, out of debt. Now let me throw out something totally ridiculous. What would happen if God so empowered the church that we could buy up our national debt? Hold it. Somebody says, it's too much money. No, if there's more than that. Because somebody said, we'll pay it off. They won't let you pay it off. But if you bought it, then guess who's in charge? I'm just throwing that out. I don't want you to spend too much time thinking about how much that is. Because really it's not that much. Not my God. Are you listening to me? Could it be that the Lord turned the tide one more time in America? Could it be that one more time this land has a visitation and the Spirit of God and the glory of God flow through this land like a wave of the sea, like the glory of God come like a mighty rushing wind? Could it be that whole towns and villages and all regions will be shaken by the hand of God and the enemy will be set back? Could it be? Could it be that you and I were handpicked to live in this day and this hour? To be a part of the glorious end time church. For he said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? I know where it is. I know exactly where it is on multiple fronts. All the finances needed. I know where it is. It's coming. It's coming. It's time we bought our publishing companies back. It's time we took our Bible companies back. It's time we took the music companies back from wicked and perverse men. They've watered down the Word of God. They've taken publishers and let them would edit everything they say and take anything out that's the Word of God that would might cause a division and print watered down gospel. They've taken the music. They've watered it down. They pulled the anointing out of it. It's time for us to redeem this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So get ready because you're going to be the ones that he's going to use to do this. You're going to be the ones that he uses to do this. King David said, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. I feel like that right now. I could run through a wall and leap over a troop. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whole nations will be shaken. Praise God. The great south land of the Holy Ghost is going to be shaken. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. 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 There's things God's put in your spirit. How many in this room have things, big things in your spirit that's going to cost huge amounts? But you know that God put it in your spirit. You didn't dream it up. It's not from eating pizza. It's not from eating too much cheese on your pizza. It's actually by the Spirit of God. But you've given up on it. But the Lord says, stir it up. Stir it up. What I spoke to you in the night hours. What I talked to you about many years ago. You will see it come to pass. Because I do not lie, saith the Lord. I will bring to pass what I promised you. So get ready. Get ready. Canada will be shaken by the hand of God. Romania will be shaken by the hand of God. The United Kingdom will tremble under the mighty hand of God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. You know why? Because he has saved the best until last. The first miracle he did, he turned water into wine. He'll do it one more time. One more time, it'll be turned again. Why? Because we're getting ready for another wedding. We're getting ready for another wedding. And Jesus loves weddings. I tell you, I feel like running around this place right now. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Try to run in the same direction. Let all things be done decently and in order. Hallelujah. 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 Woo! He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. And when he laughs, the enemy will be in derision, like a dog turning on its own tail. Hallelujah. Baby, see it. Let's give you an opportunity to pour oil in the offering tonight. There's an empty vessel in your front pocket. Pour oil in it. Make your checks out of Calvary. You can also give by way of electronic giving. If you're watching online, same thing. There should be an address on the screen. You can be a part of what God's doing in America. We're going to see America shaken. There's a stirring taking place in Los Angeles right now with all the Asian churches. They want us to come for a month. Chinese, Japanese, Korean. This has just happened. Keep us in your prayers. Something big is about to happen. I feel it. I feel it. If you think we've run before, we're getting to run, getting ready to run like never before. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, bless the gift and the giver tonight. Bless them as they sow seed. Bless them as they pour of the oil into the empty vessel. Bless them as they sow seed into the ministry. Let every dollar sown, let it represent a soul saved, a life touched, a church revived. We see America shaken. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Raymond Salias, come, brother.
Give me number six, please.
Thank you, Jesus.
Should I feel discouraged? Should the shadows rise in my heart, feel lonely and long for heaven and home, when Jesus is a portion, a constant friend is He. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because His eye is on, He's on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on, He's on the sparrow, and I know watches. Yes, I know He watches. I know my Jesus, He watches over me. I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I
Jesus. Jesus.